Father, I come by the blood of Jesus. I confess my sins of omission and of commission. Father, I ask for mercy. Let your mercy increase and your grace as I humble myself under your mighty and under the covering of our fathers, Lord God. As I go into your word, I ask for grace to speak as an oracle of God. Help me not to say things that are unnecessary. Lord God, let your word go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life. Cause us to be more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray as the word goes forth, Lord God, it will cause yokes in lives to be broken. It will cause our wills to more humble, our minds to more enlightened revelation knowledge, and our emotions, Father, controlled even by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I'm trusting that, Lord God, today you will cause miracles, signs and wonders, healings to take place, to confirm the word with signs following. Help it to redeem time, not the same things that are necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The title of my message this afternoon is Overcoming Envy. Let's say together, Overcoming Envy. Envy is just a four-letter word, but it's something that we don't want to harbor in our hearts, like Pastor Kuni has beautifully shared in that powerful Bible study. It's all heart issues. And this season, God is sifting, that mommy has been telling us, the hearts of men. It's a day in which everybody will begin to work out his or her salvation with what? Fear and trembling. This year has been declared, 2022, as the year of what? The committed overcomer vanguard. And we have been told to what we are going to overcome. Three basic things. Let's say the loss of the flesh, the loss of your eyes, and the pride of life. And recently, mommy has added another scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says that we are to renounce the hidden things of what? Dishonesty. Say, not walking in craftiness or handling God's word, what? Deceitfully. Praise the Lord. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So today we're going to be talking by the master of God about envy. Say envy. Envy. Yeah. You may say I'm not envious. But as we go on, we'll see. Because you see, it's a day in which we need to dig deep into our hearts. Because these things are hidden things of dishonesty. Praise the Lord. It's a message of encouragement because it's a year in which we are going to overcome it. Say, we are going to overcome it. Yes. Bible says God will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. But with that temptation, it will make what? A way of escape. It's a year to overcome. And will surely overcome by his mercy and grace in Jesus. Let's turn to our first scripture. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. What does it say? I'll read. It says, wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. That's where you get the word rage from. Say rage. But who is able to stand before envy? Meaning that envy is worse than anger. You know, when Simeon and Levi, when they went and killed someone, their father said something. He said they have instruments of cruelty dwelling in their habitations. For us, it's in our hearts. Envy, whatever it is, I'm going to show what anger, pride, all this. Just envy is very terrible. We're going to see today as the Lord showed me. When I saw it, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. You know why? I saw myself going around with the weapons of mass destruction. That's what you're carrying around. If you don't deal with it. Let's look at it in the NLT, New Living Translation. Proverbs 27, verse 4. It says, anger is cruel, and wrath is like a flood. But jealousy is even more dangerous. That's what NLT says. In another version I checked, in CEV, which is the contemporary English version, it says that an angry person is dangerous. We are not denying that. But a jealous person, the Bible usually uses jealousy and envy. You know, he uses them interchangeably. Say, but a jealous person is even worse. That's why I said we are going out with weapons of mass destruction. A ticking time bomb waiting to explode. Praise the Lord. Lord, have mercy. But, like I wrote in my notes, I said, be of God spoke. He said, be of good cheer. He says that there's a scripture in the book of Ephesians. He said, that scripture I read, he said, who can stand before envy? But remember in Ephesians, it says that having done all to stand, stand therefore. That is the key. I'm telling you the end from the beginning. He did not say, having done some. If you do some, you're not going to stand. It is a context of praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, putting all the old armor of love and all this has been taught that we are practicing. Now, God does not demand immediate perfection, but demands immediate practice. So it says that we will stand by putting on the old armor of love. So having done all to stand, stand therefore. Tell your neighbor, we are going to stand. And we are going to overcome envy and jealousy. Now, what is envy? It's a feeling of discontentment or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, say possessions, qualities, or spiritual endowments. Jealousy is similar. It's an unpleasant suspicion or apprehension or rivalship. Very important. Many years ago, I can remember that mommy gave us an article in, I think it came to the Intercessors, by Gloria Copeland on envy. Then pastor came and shared on that article, very powerful article by Gloria Copeland. I can remember many years ago. Well, I think it was given to every member of church at that time. And what does it say? In that article, Gloria Copeland said, envy sneaks in without announcing itself. It slips in unnoticed. It is poisonous. It poisons you with a feeling of ill will and discontent because of another's successes or advantages. Then he says something. He said, envy likes to make a move on you. Quoting that, he said, envy made a move on you. Envy will not make a move on us unawares in Jesus' name. So I put it here, like Pastor Kuni was sharing briefly in Bible study. So envy is hidden in the heart. Say, envy is hidden in our hearts. Don't say it is not there. My advice is that don't wait for it to come out before you detect that it's there. I say the hidden things of dishonesty. And it's one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said that defiles the whole body. Mark chapter 7 verse 15 says, nothing from without can defile a man, but that which is from within. So don't blame people when you do something that is wrong. Go back and check the heart. Like mommy will share a scripture and say, as water, face answereth to face. So the heart of man to man. Let's open to Mark chapter 7 verse 21 in Amplified Bible. We'll read this one now. Mark 7, 21 in the Amplified Bible. From verses 21 to 23. Are we there? Please. In the Amplified Bible. Mark chapter 7 verse 21. Please let me hope because of time. I don't want us to. Let's be together. Lord Jesus Christ is one talking. I say, for from within, say from within. That is out of where? The hearts of men. Come what? Based and wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery. Next verse. Coveting, a great desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct. Say, an evil eye. That's what envy is. Say, an evil eye. Slander. Evil speaking, malicious. Let's leave it. That's what I want to see. An evil eye. He said it comes from without. He said, not, it's not from nothing can defy you from outside. It's from within. And I want us to know something. Thank God for the fathers, what they have taught us, so we don't feel under condemnation. The basic ingredient for this thing is the sin nature. Say sin nature. Yes. When we got born again, God removed sin from our spirits. What we still have is a residual sin nature in our souls and in our flesh. So don't be under condemnation. At the same time, don't tolerate it. You see, when whatever kind of drink you want to make, there must be water to mix it. Either it is Fanta, Coke, whatever. There must be water. But that is the basic, so to speak, ingredient. So the sin nature is the root of all these things you see. And if you want things that are of God, the basic mixing liquid is the life of God. That's why recently when we pray, God, fill my will and emotions with more life, light, and love. Focus on getting more of a life of God. Focus on getting more of the light of God. Focus more on getting the life of God and the love of God. We all have a sin nature. That's the key. So don't begin to feel, oh God, no. It's not a condemnation. The Bible says that we have not received the ministry of, we have received the ministry of reconciliation. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, we've read that. James chapter 3 verse 14 says, if you have bitter envy and strive in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Once you see it, don't deny it. That's the first step in honesty and humility. Don't say, I have a right to be envious. No, but you don't have a right, though. If you claim that right, as you see, as we go on, you see the steps. Envy is just 30-fold. As I continue, you will see. Let's open to James chapter 3, verse 16 in the Amplified Bible. Say, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart. You see, when I was studying, I discovered that envy and strife are always together. You see here, you see in Romans, all over, anytime you see envy and strife, envy and strife, envy and strife. James 3, 16, Amplified Bible. What does it say? Wherever, you see, he's using jealousy here. But in the King James Bible, it says, wherever there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. But let's read from the Amplified Bible. Say, for wherever there's jealousy, bracket, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be what? Say, confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. So when you are feeling agitated, try to trace it back to the root. When there is unrest, contention, trace it back to the root. Usually you discover that it is envy. Lord will have mercy upon us. Like I said, envy is just 30-fold. Say, envy is 30-fold. When you move to the next level, it becomes hatred. Hatred is what? Say, 60-fold. When it's 100-fold, it ends up with murder. We are going to see as we continue. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother, you see, he has moved from envy to hate. He's a what? Murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So remember, go to what I said earlier on. This prayer we pray. More life, say more life. More light, more love. So when we start moving from envy to that, that means they are operating on a life deficit. You need to stop before it gets to murder. Praise the Lord. I put it in my notes, the Lord spoke to me. He said, it is the war within that triggers the war without. It is that war that is inside us that triggers the war that is without. If we are to examine, let me digress a bit. If you are to examine today the root cause of the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, probably is envy. That is, how can you live and you're not prospering beyond us? Just like when Pharaoh, after he let Israelites go, then he started chasing them. You can't go. But you know, I don't know how this thing will go, but I know it will cease. I'm just taking a bit at all. You see, there is a woman called Jean Wilkinson. She prophesied, Pastor has shared with us. And she said that, look, all the leaders of the USSR will begin to die one by one, one by one. I'm not saying this is what will happen. But this thought came to my heart. When Joshua, after he destroyed Jericho, he said, whoever tries to build Jericho, he said, shall lay the foundation in his firstborn. And what? Is the lastborn, we'll finish lastborn. What am I saying? It is God that set those people free in the USSR. Why try to bring them together again? We'll see how this thing will end. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 in the NLT, New Living Translation, I will read. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask from God for it. It is the war within that translates to the war we see outside today. Envy. I'm going to get to David and Saul. But in relation to what is going on, this thought came to me.
Bible said the house of Saul waxed what? Weaker. He said there was long war. This war has been long. Between the house of Saul and the house of David. But the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. I'm speaking prophetically by the grace of God. So I have six examples here that God gave me. There are more. I'll just limit myself to six examples. I will start with the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul was talking. You know this scripture that we pray nowadays? Please pray it too. I've been praying recently, and I began to tell myself, I said, God, if I cannot preach or share the word from a pure heart, I don't want to do it again. I told God, and I'm very sincere. I said, God, I don't want to. If I can't do it the way you want me to do it, I don't want to. You know why? We're going to open to 2 Corinthians very soon. But Paul says something. He says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And he kept on saying something. He said, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is what? Preached, and therein do I rejoice. You can preach out of envy and strife. If you like, preach out of love. You know, the funny thing, not funny, is that, you know, God didn't stop the person preaching with envy and strife. He left him. He didn't say, no. And Paul, too, had this problem. That's why he came to himself. He said, I have to stop this nonsense. See? And it takes the mercy of God. It's not making you do it yourself. He said, having obtained this ministry, we receive mercy. And we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. No more walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Have you ever been to a party before or somewhere and they serve food to you? Smells nice, looks nice, tantalizing, so to speak. And then you ate the food and then you got home, it started purging you. That's what is going on in the body of Christ. Like Pastor was sharing through the ministration of many people. They say good words, nice words. They are okay. They even go prophetic at times. But when you get home, it begins to throw, begin to purge you, begin to vomit. Because inside the words they were speaking, there was envy there, strife there, immorality. You see, because it's the altar, your heart, that sanctifies your gift. Covetousness. That's where, be careful where you go to. Unless you hear a prosperity message and you're wondering, am I feeling like getting more of what God has not given me? You have gone to a place where you should not go. You have eaten what you should not eat. I asked the Lord one time about that young prophet that went to speak to Jeroboam. God told him, he said, when you get there to Samaria, you know that story, he said, do not eat anything. He said, once you just deliver the message, just go. But the guy, you know the story, the older prophet, who out of the same problem, envy, he was in the same place. God wasn't talking to him again. He now went and called that young prophet. But what I want you to see is, I asked the Lord, I said, but God, why did you say this man should not eat there? God, you know the wicked. There must be a reason then. I believe the thoughts came to me. You know, in that place, that was where Jeroboam ordained his whole false prophets. And they were sacrificing to the idols, that golden calf. One in Dan, one in Bethel. You know why God told him not to eat there? Because that prophet there was eating from a table of Jeroboam. So God did not want that young prophet to partake of things from idolatry, to contaminate him. But that young prophet thought that God was wicked. Paul said, I don't want you to partake of the table of idols, somewhere in the book of 1 Corinthians. See, because the things they sacrifice to idols. The same thing was happening in the Corinthian church. They were eating things they're not supposed to eat, that Pastor Clay was sharing today. Say, what bewitched you? Careful where you go. Let's continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. This is the reason for every man of God. He said, don't be many teachers. Don't be many church. Say, because you have the greater condemnation. The yardstick that God is going to use with leaders is going to be serious. Going serious. That's why I said, God, if I can't do it right, don't let me do it again. Let me just stay back at home. Let me read that. A thought that came to my heart, I will mention it. Some people are asking some questions. Say, for we must all, including the pastor and the flock, appear and be revealed as we are. That means we may not look like as we are then. Don't get them. Before the judgment is of Christ, he's talking about Bema Sikwa, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether they be good or evil. Considering, say, what is the purpose, the mode and motive have been, and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself and his attention to accomplishing. It's not a day to be like Martha. When Christ is visiting his people, stay at his feet. As if somebody asked the question, it just came to me. You don't wander into ministry? This is not the kind of thing that you are a pastor, then you resign to go and become a king? I'm not joking. It's serious business. I'm not insulting anybody. As our principal, Lord spoke to me. What did Lord Jesus Christ do when he wanted to make him king? That's our pattern. That's our goal. It's either God did not call you, because you are going to give an account to him one day. Let's move on. Praise the Lord. The second example is Moses, Aaron, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Psalm 106, we read verses 16 and 7. We are talking about envy. When you read it in the book of Numbers, it said they were rebellious. What is the cause of rebellion? They envied what? Moses. Also in the camp. And Aaron, the saint of the Lord. Next verse. The earth opened and swallowed them. Swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. The earth there may not be a physical earth. It's that they died of carnality. That's the earth. Man was made from the dust of the earth. Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. I'll read briefly. Open. So we can see. Let's go back. You see, when you read in Numbers, you don't get the reason why. It's in the New Testament. The Bible says the reason why they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, because they envy them. Let's see. Now, Korah, the son of Issa, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben. Fook, man. Next verse. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation. Verse number 3. Put at the back. The reason is envy. How can you be the only one that is in charge of this? How can God give you this? How can God do this? Are you the only one? I don't want to mention it, so I'm not going to. Are you the only one? I wish we can do our own. You can do your own. That God did not tell you to do. Why are you doing this? Folks, it is the person that God gives you that he will stay with you. Who is on the Lord's side? Say the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? He said, come on to me. Let's keep reading. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, which we are born again. Me too, I'm a pastor. Me too, I'm anointed. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Verse 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. That's a humble person. He wasn't looking for it. The man was in the backside with us. He has given up everything. We were, if I perish, I perish. It was God that came. The same Moses that was so strong. When God called him, he said, God, I can't talk. You see, before God can use you, he will first of all break you. He will make you the meekest man on the earth. So whenever I give, just like God doesn't give many of us, including me, a lot of things. We pray. Say you ask and you don't get. Say because you want to consume it on your loss. I pray. Hey, at the end of the day, it's the salary that will come. Ah, God, I pray. I'm being honest. At least if I'm talking about myself, that is okay. Pray. Hey, just that which is enough. And the Lord now tell me, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, Lord, told Paul, he said, my grace, dear, is sufficient for you. So you need sufficient grace to overcome, so to speak, the sufficient evil of the day. Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 9. Cement it. See the present. A small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto him. That's envy. So, you mean this one is not enough for you to be an elder, to be an overseer? You want to do what Satan did, who is the one behind heavy? I will exalt my throne to the Most High. The ruler is Satan, is the one that started this nonsense. Son of the morning. So when you're not content with what God has given you or where God has put you, and you don't wait for God to promote you, it's envy, it's Satan. You know, said the Nephilim, they have come down. So they're not more far off. They are now pushing people. They will not push out in Jesus' name. Verse 10. Mercy, Lord. 10. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee to and seek ye the priesthood also. So you see the reason. The next example I have is Joseph and his brothers. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. When you read it in the book of Acts, it tells us, in the Amplified Bible, it tells us the reason. Envy leads to hatred. If you not checked, 100-fold murder. Don't say I can't commit murder. John said, he that hates his brother is a murderer. He's telling you up front where you're headed to. Don't say, I just hate him. I don't like to see him. This thing cuts across everybody, even young children. It's not everybody. Everybody. I mean, not just certain people. Acts chapter 7, verse 9, Amplified Bible. What does it say? And the patriarchs, Jacob's sons, boiling, with envy and hatred and anger, sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt. But, God was with him. Now, let's see where the problem started. I'll spend some time with Joseph. I'll be reading because of time. The problem started the day his father gave him the coat of many colors. Genesis chapter 37, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Say, hated him. And could not speak peaceably unto him. Then the problem continued when he started having dreams and revelations. Mind you, Joseph was not, it's not about being perfect, though. But he had a perfect heart. Because Joseph was kind of proud. So God was doing the work in the life of the brothers and the life of Joseph. So we use their envy to deal with Joseph. So God doesn't waste resources like we do. You know, it was like, gather the remaining waste. Don't let anything. We gather the remaining loaf. Bring it back. So it's a dual thing. If Joseph's brothers were not there, Joseph would not have gone to Egypt. His father would not allow it. If God told him, say, this son of my, no. My last boy, you're not going. So God had to allow. Is God uses anything? He said, I have the one that has created the waster to destroy. So it will use your envy. It will use your jealousy. It will use your anger. It will use everything. Nothing goes to waste though. He said, are the princes of this world? No, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when revelations began to come, dreams. Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 to 6. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren. He said, I have shut his big mouth. And they hated him yet the more. Say, they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you this dream, which I have dreamed. If he was wise, he should have kept quiet. That is the difference between Joseph and his father Jacob. Jacob too had a dream in the house of Laban. When they saw the boy, he didn't tell anybody. Did he tell Laban? No. He kept quiet. You have to keep quiet, or whatever God has spoken to you, and let him bring to pass in due season. It's pride and arrogance that makes us to voice it out. Say to Eli, don't act before time like Moses did. It cost him 40 years in the wilderness. But eventually, he had not killed that person. Probably not have married the wrong woman in marriage, Zipporah. But probably married in the house of Israel. So, he should have told his father alone the dream, not his brethren. Because his father was mature. You know, when he told his father rebuked him. He said, what do you mean? When he said, I had this dream of the moon and the sun. But his father said, he rebuked him. But the Bible says something. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, 11, he said, but he observed the sayings. That's maturity. You have a dream, don't tell everybody. Tell mature spiritual leadership who are looking after your spiritual growth and well-being. So through them, they can let you get the timing. Very important. Don't tell everybody. And if you do, anyway, you find yourself in a pit. So, the next thing is brother's response. Genesis chapter 37 verse 8. They replied and said, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. His father spoke when he was blessing them. His father now confirmed the problem. I think it's in Genesis chapter 37, verse 11. 11, put it in 11. Just, I want to see. He talks about envy there. 11. Yes, and his brothers envied him, but his father observed the same. You know what? That's why when Paul was talking to Corinthians, he said, are you not carnal? There's envy and strife among you, and you're walking like a mere man. All different. Paul was matured, they were carnal. So those are the brethren. Okay. Jacob's prayer for Joseph. Genesis chapter 49, verse 23. See what he said. He said, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and what? Hated him. But you see, he got a blessing in part of the hatred. Folks, any situation you find, say, walk in love. Light or darkness can never overcome light. Just increase the intensity of light. Hatred can never overcome love. Death can never overcome life. So, still on Joseph, this is what led to murder. They killed him literally. It's just God. Genesis chapter 37, verse 26 to 27. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit? Say, what profit? Is it that we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him. Say, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother. And I put in my notes, God used their covetousness to deliver Joseph and propel him to the next level. God will use it. If you like, stick to covetousness. He will use it. He will look at somebody that is proud, like Joseph. Will allow you. Those things, circumstances will happen that you cannot even describe how they ever happened. But see, my advice, make sure that you are walking in love. That your motives are pure. The next example is Saul and David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 to 9, the Amplified Bible. I said earlier that this is the root of all wars. When it started like this, in Amplified Bible. Let's read. Talking about the women, after David killed Goliath, said, and they were coming home when David returned from killing the Philistine. The women came, thank God for women. They came out of all the Israelite towns, singing and dancing to meet King Saul. They didn't go and meet David. You see? He said, meet King David with several songs of joy and instruments of music. Next verse. And the women responded as they laughed and frolicked, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Ah, problem. And Saul was very angry. That's where he started from. For this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s. He began to sulk. But to me, they have ascribed only thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? Next verse. and Saul, jealously eyed David from that day forward. After Saul died, the war between the house of Saul was sickened, because this is where I started from. Saul had forgotten that it takes two to put 10,000 to flight. He had, yes, how could David have gone with his own anointing? Saul had the spirit. At this time, the spirit of Lord, you know, he will come and go, come and go. Abi, he has not even started going. I don't think so. It was when David came. Say, one, if David had gone on his own, he would have died. Always remember, wherever you find yourself, stay there. There's something, as every joint supply it. Don't say, I'm not preaching. When are they going to call me? That's not the point. The point that you are supplying what God has told you to supply. Because your reward came on what he has told you to do, not what he has not told you to do. So you can't wake up today, like go for an examination. You leave the questions. Then you write your own questions. Then you write your own answers. You are laughing. That's what we do. When you leave where God has put you, then you go to where God has not put you. Go and start a church. God did not tell you to start. Anyway, let's move on. That is the root. Then, number five, the Lord Jesus himself, the scribes and Pharisees. Mark chapter 15, verses 9 to 10. Paul was talking about Pilate. Mark 15 says, but Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Next verse. For he knew, say he knew, an unbeliever, that the chief priests are delivering all for what? For envy. Envy, hatred, murder. Let's look at Cain and Abel. Mommy shared with you and said, sin life at your door. Don't say Cain alone. No. There is residual sin nature at every born-again Christian's door. The door is the gateway. That's how you get out. That's your soul, where you contact the world with your five physical senses. So God was not condemning Cain. He said, why is your countenance falling? Why is your countenance falling? Why are you sad? Why are you envious? If you have done the right thing, will not be accepted? If not, sin lies at your door. And his desire that he will master you. But we shall have what? We shall have dominion over him. He said, you're mastered. We don't read it because of time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 in the Amplified Bible. It says, Cain took his nature. John was talking. He says, and not be like Cain, who took his nature. That's talking about the sin nature. And got his motivation, envy, from the evil one. So Satan was behind it. And slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his deeds, activities, works were wicked. He didn't obey instructions. And malicious, and his brothers were righteous. We know why. And virtuous. I don't want to go to prison. Why? Say, hold fast to instruction, for she is thy life. Time will not permit me to talk about Solomon and Jeroboam. Know the story? God picked, after Solomon misbehaved. Why are you misbehaving? God picked Jeroboam. You know that story? And the Bible says that Solomon was trying to kill Jeroboam and then ran away. But I can't talk about Jeroboam. God gives me 10. He gives this man 2. Know Jeroboam's problem? Insecurity. He said, because the temple was in Jerusalem. So if we don't do something, they will go there. Insecurity. The God that gave you 10, did you know that the temple was in Jerusalem? Let's leave it. Time will not permit you to talk about Joshua when he was under Moses' covering. It can happen to anybody. You know what? When God said, call 70 people and said, I will anoint them. So when they called the 70, 2 were not in the camp. And Joshua, they came and said, they're elder and middle that are in the camp and they are prophesying. Then, you know what Joshua said? He was still growing. He went to Moses. Say, forbid them. Forbid them. Master, stop them. Be careful who gives you advice. You know what Moses said? Say, envious thou for my sake. Woe to God that all the lost people were prophets and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. That prayer is going to be answered in this day. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He matured. So you might be like Joshua today, somebody like me. But that was not the end of Joshua. So why is this message very important? It can lead to weakness, sickness, and untimely death. The Bible talks about the way of Cain. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's the book of Jude, I think it's in 11, yes, that says that, he talks about the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. It's envy. The way of Cain is envy. Don't go that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 says, for this reason, you know, Paul was telling them, he has spoken in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, says there is envy and strife among you, among Paul and among Paul. He said, are you not carnal? So he kept talking the same discourse. When I got to 11, he said, he said, you're talking about the Lord's Supper. But it was the principle I want us to see there. He said, for this, what reason? Envy, strife, immorality. Walking like me, amen. Some of you are weak. Some of you are sickly. Some of you sleep. Because if you will not judge yourself, you will be judged. And when you are judged, you are chastened of the Lord. That you not be content. Just if you cannot say, Lord, please have mercy on me. Please have mercy. Mercy. That's how you renounce the eating of the baby. Either confesses and forsakes shall obtain mercy. It's a lie. Who told you what you are wearing is not good? Who told you? Who defines what is good and what is not good? Having food or raiment, let's be content. When we start judging things by what we wear. I'm not saying dress well. Dress well. But don't put your faith in all these physical things. So your life is a vapor. You're not going to even let them bury you with the cut. Nobody will die. This thing is going to rot. Is not the life more than meat? Well, take thought for what you will wear, what you will eat, like the Gentiles. Even Solomon was not arrayed like this. Let's keep reading. Sickness now. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Says a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Job chapter 5, verse 2. That is sickness. For wrath killeth the foolish men, and envy slayeth the silly one. NLT says, a peaceful heart, New Living Translation, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. But jealousy is like cancer in the bones. The reason for, my second reason is this. I said, it can lead to sickness. It can lead to weakness. I'm not saying anytime you feel sick, this is the problem. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying it can. It can. So don't be saying that, no, it can. Sicknesses can be hereditary. So please don't, that doesn't mean you're envious. I'm saying it can. So we don't feel under condemnation. Satan can attack. Are you following me? He can attack. So it's not, don't say, God, oh, I'm envious. No, please. But God will heal us. The second reason for why we have to take it to overcome business, the reason for the coming and the great persecution that passed us, Matthew chapter 24. We are already in verses 6 and 8. Currently, there are wars, pestilences. It says in verse 8, these are the beginning of sorrow. Let's now read from Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 to 10. Say, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Somewhere it says, the love of many shall wax cold. Our love will not wax. So you see, when your war starts waxing cold, then you start seeing envy, strife, pride. Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 to 22. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And shall be hated of all nations, all men, for my name's sake. Before the nations can hate, you find that it's the children that triggered it. Nothing from without can defile a man, except it's from within. But if ye shall endure unto the end, you shall be saved. Be of good cheer. Now, in writing up, how do we overcome this problem? Because the title of the message is Overcoming Envy. Say, Overcoming Envy. We've seen, allowed us by the Spirit of God to see the danger. So you don't begin to play with it. And say, it doesn't matter. And leave the thing, the little blooms, you know, to hatred. So wherever you are today, how do you begin to think about somebody evil, about something bad happening? At your thought level, there's room to repent. It has not occurred yet. So you can say, Lord, please. He that hated his brother is a murderer. Our Lord, I've been having hatred towards this person. Please, Father, forgive me. And he will forgive. The only sin that cannot be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ is the unpardonable sin. Activate your faith. Ask for forgiveness. And he will forgive you. And here I also want to mention the importance of joining Good Morning Jesus. Folks, don't sleep. If I say I have not slept, it will be a lie. I slept not once, not twice, but let me leave it at twice. Okay, let me say thrice. Because the amount of two or three witnesses, that's enough. You know, you are praying. You are praying, then it's thanksgiving that you wake up. And then you are asking yourself, as mommy said, Osula! I said, have they said it? Have they said it? Have they said it? They have not said it. Then, then you laugh. Then they close up the application. I say, God, I didn't hear Osula again today. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. You know, there are some key things they say. When they say the same to everybody. So Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, and your faith failed not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, let me tell you something. The Lord showed me. You see, if you are undergoing a sifting, say praise God. Say praise God. Say praise God. You know what it means is this. That means you have left the field. You are now being processed. Yes. You should be happy. That means, you know, in harvesting in Israel, there are three seasons. Feast of Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Passover is the barley harvest. It is the good ones that they take into the onto the barn floor to process. Wheat harvest is where they sift. When they begin to sift, after they thresh, that's what the Bible calls the threshing floor. If you're on the threshing floor, don't begin to say, God, why am I going through this? Because you have been counted worthy. You are no more in the field. He has called you. The Bible says, he that bringeth forth fruit, he purgeth. So that means you are no more in the field. Dude, the things that are left in the field are left to rot or left for the poor. They are not meant for the master's use. So he was telling Peter, God told me, he was preparing Peter for Pentecost because he was talking about wheat. Wheat is what is sifted. So he said, Satan, I desire to sift you as wheat. God spoke to me. He said, I said, you know, when you see types of joy, I ask God, what does this mean? He said, wheat is fruit. And the fruit is love. So once we remove the chaff that looks like love, but it's not love. So for him to remove it, you have to go to the threshing floor where everything begins to shake. The only thing that will be left is wheat. We'll now take you to the barn, meat for the master's use. He was trying to tell Peter prophetically, we give God all the praise. Thank God for the covenant of the Father. He was trying to tell Peter, Peter, he wasn't condemning him. He was not condemning Peter. He was saying, Peter, move it to the next level. Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. What is the removing? I said, wheat is the fruit, Abby. The chaff are things like envy, jealousy, anger, whatever, immorality. So don't be discouraged. When those things are coming out, when they are coming out, God is sifting you. You want to remove it. But you see, it's the one that created the waster to destroy. It's Satan that they will use. Satan, come and take your property for my son's life. God cannot behold iniquity. So Satan will come. I will consider my servant Job. If you don't see from God's point of view, that means you are saying, God, why didn't you just leave me in the field? And the field talks about those that have not been harvested. the unbelievers. We are saying the fields are ready for harvest. But you see, where we are now, we are facing tabernacles, the pressing of a seed, grapes. Yes. We are now processing. He was telling Peter, preparing Peter for Pentecost. Are you following me? But for us, he's preparing us for tabernacles, the first ripe grapes. And for us to get the juice out of the grapes, we have to crush them. Your oil press. Depress the pressure. You don't understand it. People don't understand it. People say different kinds of things about you. But no, it's the oil press. In Isaiah, it says something. He said, destroy it. Talking about divine. He said, don't destroy it. Why? Because why? There's a blessing in it. There's a cluster. There's a blessing in it. See, when you think things happen, believe that God is loving. Anytime I'm in a difficult situation, I go back to this girl. He said, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That expected end is the salvation of my soul. Let's go back to the nose. How? Say number one, we daily choose the fear of God. Say daily choose the fear of God. You see, back to Peter. It wasn't that Jesus wanted Peter to fall. Why can you have a child and you want him to fail? No. See, when we read that story, we say Jesus has said it, so it will come to pass. No. He knew Peter had not dealt with this thing at the time we were doing the exam. He said, Satan, I decided to sift you. Let me put it this way. My son, you have not been reading. You have been playing football. You have been sleeping. Now you have your paper tomorrow. You are waking up at 6, 7 o'clock. I suppose you have by 7:30 and you have not read. Did you hate that child? No. He was just trying to say, Peter, you have not been ready. He wasn't trying to say, Peter, he wanted everybody to make it. But you know, he gave him a way of escape. He took them to Gethsemane. He said, God is faithful. He separated 8. Those that couldn't pray, just stay here. Just be saying, Amen. Amen. Then he took 3 that could pray. Are you following me? He said, you 3, stay here. No, Rachel is smaller. Then you, too much has been given. Gold is stones cast. He said he left them and went to stones cast. Recently, man was nicely correcting us in the prayer meeting. He said, everybody, pray. You're not praying. And Lord spoke to me from this story I just spoke to you. He said, each phase of prayer should be more intense than the first one. Eh? You know, by the time you do 1 and 2, you are going to 3. At least we are in your heart, at least we have tried. Let's just. He said, no. He said, in like a relay race, but in 1, 2 must move faster. Or else you're going to lose the race. Are you with me? So he told me, he said, now took me to the book of Luke. I hope I wrote in my notes. He said, about Jesus Christ, when he did the first phase, he said, he prayed the more earnestly. He said, pray more earnestly, face after face. Pray more earnestly. Because it's a race. The first phase will add to the second phase. But life is merely this. He said, until you get press the tape, pray more earnestly. So if you fall asleep, like I've done many times, at the first, second phase, that means grace level has dropped. Because the grace is sufficient. Please, I'm not condemning nobody. Let me quickly finish. So choose the fear of God. Honesty and humility. Then second thing, daily putting on the whole armor of love, which is very important. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, the fruit of spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So we think, speak, feel, and act more like God. You know, that confession we take. Honesty and humility. We do it every morning. Good man, Jesus. No, then daily put on the whole armor of love. I get him. Romans chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, we pray. Say, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and what? Envy. So, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to feed loss thereof. The last thing I want us to talk about is, which is the third thing. I said, honestly, I'm limited of our truth to the God. They put on the armor of love. Then the third thing, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Especially supplication, overcome the beam of envy in the soul. If you join group, all these things are done every morning. You go from there to there to there. And because of corporate anointing, again, it's easy to deal with those things when you now go out. But the emphasis that God brought to my mind is about the aspect of supplication. Say supplication. Supplication is a pastor to us when you alternate between tongues and groanings. Tongues and groanings. If you refer to what I said earlier about seeing light at your door, being your soul, and it wants to master you for that day, how do you overcome it? With supplication. Who in the days of his flesh, when they had offered up prayers, petitions, the next thing, supplication. With what? Strong crying out. I don't think that was able to save him from envy. Don't you think envy will come against yours, guys, from the air? When he was waiting, just come to me. He was waiting. No call to ministry. And meanwhile, John Baptist was already baptizing people. Don't think the devil have told him, what are you doing here? You say you're waiting on the Lord. Look at your cousin. That is how he overcame envy. I said by supplication. Now, God gave me a scripture. I used to explain it to us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5. Are we there? Matthew 7, 3 to 5. We're going to stop now by the mercy and the grace of God. And why? Say, and why? Beholdest thou what? The mote as in thy brother's eye. Say, I. Can anybody have a mote in his eye, physically speaking? Can anybody? No. Don't be afraid. Can you have a mote in your eye? No. He was talking figuratively. The eye there being the eye of your understanding, your soul, your mind. He says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? You know, it's very, very easy to see other people's problem than to see your own. But consider not the beam that's in thy own eye. Can you have a beam in your eye? So it's not talking naturally. But it's talking about the beam of envy. Next verse. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye. And behold, a beam is in thy own eye. I being the eye of your understanding. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Next verse. We're talking about supplication. How to overcome envy. Thou hypocrite. First cast. Say first cast. First supplication is for you, the person praying. The beam of envy. The beam of anger. The beam of immorality that's in the soul. Whatever it is. Covetousness. It's not a message to discourage us. We have, that's how you're going to overcome. When I saw this, most times after everything, I'm driving in the car, I'm just supplicating because I know that I have weapons of mass destruction. Yes, when you know, you will deal with it. You will deal with it. That hypocrite, he could have said, thou envious man. He just used hypocrite here as an example. It could be anything. Say, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou seek what? Clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Second supplication. Did we get that? So don't see that. He just used hypocrisy. It could be anger. It could be pride. It could be morality. But that's what supplication does. When you are praying, I should mercy. Ask. That's how I go to renounce within things of dishonesty. So as you pray, I put in my note, I say, ask for mercy all the time. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. They begin to pray, tongues are going, they begin to supplicate. Supplicate. So we are dealing with the beam in the eye. Thank you, Father. Let's bow down and let's ask God for mercy. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your help. Thank you for covering. Thank you for the open heavens. Thank you for showing us things to come and equipping us, Lord God. Help us to hold fast that which you have given us, these gems, these truths, so that no man will take our crown. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to God. I don't know the song to sing. Maybe we should sing that same song we sang for our mothers. Your goodness is going after me. Because God has been faithful. It's by his mercies we have not been consumed. It's by his mercies, though, we have not been consumed. We are now our weapons of mass destruction we are carrying around. His mercy has preserved us. Lord, you have said that the prince of this world comedy had nothing in me. How many of us can say that? If we are going to say it in this season. Amen. I have probably sing that song from the beginning.
I love you, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
For your mercy never fails me.
Now sing along as a song of worship.
All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of your goodness. Oh God, I love your voice.
I love your voice.
Let's lift up our hands.
Oh Lord, you have led me through the fire. Oh Lord, in darkest night.
Yes.
You are close like no other. I've known you as a father.
I've known you as a father.
And as a friend.
I've known you as a friend.
I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh my life, you have been fair. Oh my life, you have been so good. Oh my life, you have been so, so good. Goodness, oh Lord, your goodness,
yes.
Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Yes, Lord, your mercies,
your goodness is running after,
is running after me. Lord, with my life laid down, I'm surrendered now.
Give you everything,
Lord. Your goodness is running after, is running after me.
One more time, your goodness is running
after.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Yes, Lord. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. So, Lord, with my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Let's lift up our hands of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here. Let's reverence the Holy Spirit. He's been with us this morning and he's touching every heart, I believe. He's here to heal, to save. Let's first of all pray, then we'll pray for our healing. And I believe that God will confirm his word with signs following. God gave me a scripture. I will quote it. Thank God for covering. Lord, please have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. We say, Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of how to overcome envy and jealousy by using the blood, the word, and the spirit. As I daily perfect the love of God, I therefore determine today to daily choose the fear of God and to daily put on the old armor of love and to daily pray more. Earnestly pray more earnestly with all kinds of prayer in the spirit so that I will be part of that committed overcomer vanguard as you are raising up in Jesus' name. Let's now pray in tongues. Pray, pray, pray. Rabasanta Rabakurubo Sekaria Bafia. Rabaraba Soma Karia Batoria Kataba. Rama Sumba. Rama Sumbre Makuriba Sataya Kataba. Rama Sumba Rama Subrene, Ruba Suma Kaika To, Rama Subrene, Ruba Sandaraba, Kurima Salaba Kuraba Soraba Kutabara Kutabara Kutabara, Rama Sumba Rama Kurabakutabara Kutabara. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pray for a healing, and God gave me a scripture on that covering. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 7 to 20. Please read on the board. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 17 to 20. I'll read and I will explain. There was a time that they came to take the Passover. And the Bible says that the congregation were not yet sanctified, but that Hezekiah prayed for them and said, God forgive them and heal them. I'm standing under the covering of Hezekiah that God has raised up in this house. Let me read. But there were many in the congregation, including me that I'm talking, that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers. Mind you, was killed for your was you took your infirmities for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. Next verse. But a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and of Manasseh, Isaac and Zebulun, had not yet cleansed themselves. So are they going to be healed? Yet they ate the Passover otherwise than it was written. But what? This is the key covering. But what? Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord what? Pardon everyone. Father, I thank you because you forgive everybody under the covering of the fathers of the house. Sins of omission, sins of commission, envy, pride, whatever is immorality, under covering, Lord, we ask for. That prepared his, is that the next verse? That prepared his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Next verse. Let's see what God did. And the Lord hearkened unto his God and healed the people. Father, I thank you under the covering of his spiritual fathers. You have said you sent your word and you healed them and deliver them from that destruction of our diseases. Father, we thank you for healing that is taking place. The Bible says, Lord, they went everywhere and preached the word, and you confirmed the word with signs following. Thank you for confirming your word within the lives of people, causing all every need to be met. Financial challenges be met in Jesus' name. We are the children of the Most High God. Our Father's name is love. As love was an everlasting love. Which one of you will ask for bread from his father and will give him a stone? In Jesus' name. Let's now, if you came here, please let's sit down. If you are all asleep standing, if you came here for the very first time and you say you've enjoyed the presence of God, you like what you see, we'd like you to come out. We just want to pray for you on that covering so that this presence will go with you. We'll not just end there. So if you are here for the very first time, now please lift up your hand. We just want to be a blessing to you. And then if you say, okay, I'm born again. Or if you are not born again, please also stand with them. We've been thinking about God is a covenant-keeping God. You have to be part of those that are come in that covenant. Then if you are not baptized, Holy Spirit, please come also. God wants to touch everybody. Please, wherever you are, please don't be ashamed. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Don't delay. Is there anybody before we close the service? Please come. Please come. Please come. That's why he has brought you to this certain place. He wants to be a blessing. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter if there's only one person. He's the one that will leave 99 to go and get only one. Understand that. Please, let's bow down to pray. The day that Paul was saved, nobody knew. So don't say it's only one person. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that I've heard today. I come today because I recognize that I am a sinner. Not because of what I have done, but because of this residual sin nature that lies in my spirit, soul, and my physical body. But I don't want to continue as a sinner today. I recognize and I know that Lord Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. He went to hell for 3 days and suffered for the punishment of my sins. And Father, you raised him up on the third day for my justification. I receive him now as my Lord and Savior. I confess him as my Lord. I will no longer live a life of habitual sin. But enter my sin, I will quickly confess my sins and continue in this way of righteousness.
Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. The same prayers applies to all those watching online. That same power will touch whoever you are if you have prayed in faith. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's the end of the service. Thank you for the covenant of fathers. We are grateful. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mona. I'm very, very grateful. Thank you for the open heavens we are partaking of today. In Jesus' name.
Father, we are so grateful to you for your visitation with us here today. It's been so wonderful, so glorious, and so good. We're very grateful. We return all the glory unto you. Thank you for the covering of fathers. Thank you for their prayers, and thank you for your sweet presence in this place, and for the joy that fills our hearts afresh. Know that truly, Lord God, you are with us in all things to bring us into your glory. As we come, Lord, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the covering of the fathers, come to declare and say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. Amen. Lord, make his face to shine upon us. Lord, lift up the light of his counsel upon us. Lord God, give us peace. God will make us head and not tail, above only and not beneath, and cause us to prosper in everything we set our hands upon to do, and to be at least 10 times better than our peers, by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in Jesus' name. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies all of us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection, the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, anoint us afresh with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. Shall we share the grace? So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forevermore, and no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.